The New York-based Fourth Wall Ensemble has had a bustling year of music making since it was launched last year in the fall of 2023. To fill us in on some of those projects, Christopher Allen is joining me on Classical Conversations and speaking as the artistic and creative director of the Fourth Wall Ensemble. So, Christopher, first of all, welcome. And you would be the perfect person to introduce us to this emerging ensemble if you could give us a little bit of the backstory.
Great to be here, Mary. You know, Fourth Wall Ensemble has been sort of living in the back of my, you know, somewhere in my brain for quite some time. You know, I spend most of my time conducting operas and orchestras all over the world. And every time I come back from an engagement, I start to think, well, you know, what else is there? And then you learn a bunch of things you know, from the other organizations you're working for, and you kind of file what works, what doesn't work, what, you know, maybe you see the industry might need, or there might be a artistic or a social agenda that we are not, you know, really going far enough in our world. And the pandemic came, and that gave me even more time to think about this. I'm originally from New York, and a lot of my early childhood experiences were in the vocal ensemble world. And so Trinity Wall Street, St. Thomas Fifth Avenue, and Robert Shaw took his groups to Carnegie Hall. So this was my first introduction. My studies have been in piano, in orchestral conducting, and spent a lot of time conducting opera, but it's always been a part of me. And when I moved back from being, I was the associate conductor of Los Angeles Opera, and I moved after 10 years back to New York City. When I arrived here, I said, there seems to be the opportunity for a different type of group that I didn't see or witness growing up, and that, to my surprise, didn't exist now. And I spent a good part of a year talking to everybody in the community. How come this isn't done? You know, I was looking basically for every reason not to do this group, because I knew how much time it would sort of start to take from my schedule. In the end, I spoke to Greg Gershon. He was the artistic director of the Master Chorale in Los Angeles. And he said, this is the group that he had wanted to start many years ago and never did. And I said, you know what, let's do it. And I said, what if? It was a lot of what if questions. What if we start a group that did everything from medieval music to improv and chant to high Renaissance to Baroque to the craziest new music written in the business, and to not put our nose up at, you know, the pop world or the folk world? What if we were committed to doing the highest level of artistic expression, no matter what the repertoire is? So that was like the core of it. And then I said, well, since we're going there and we have the possibility of not reframing a group, but building a new one, I said, well, what can we do differently? And so often arts programs and organizations talk about how we serve the community and what is the audience that we serve. And we certainly do. We certainly do. But rarely is the question, who are the artists we serve? And my feeling was, well, if we get a bunch of people, 8 people, 12 people, 16 people in a room, and they were treated really well, they were paid higher than they were being currently paid in New York City, and we created an infrastructure of care and we did the things that we wanted to do, that just perhaps the benefit of all of this is that the audience would get to see something that they don't get to see. So there was an artistic reason to start it, and then there was a social reason that is challenging the way arts organizations are run. That was kind of what launched us into space out of the gate. And since then, you know, it turns out that my hunch that a group like this was needed in New York City has, you know, proven to be true. And we just did Merkin Hall last week. At the Kauffman Center. We did Carnegie Hall last spring. We produced our own theatrical shows. We did a series at Power Station. We went up to Avalok and did a residency. We have a show at Zankel this upcoming winter. And we just signed an opera contract. I mean, so the group has sort of been catapulted into a different sphere. But at the heart of it, we're a bunch of artists wanting to make incredible things for ourselves and for our community.
It sounds like this group is really blazing out of the gate here. And would you say those artistic and social reasons for launching the group. Does that tie into the name Fourth Wall? Because I think of the theatrical context of that, but how does that apply in the classical music world?
Yeah, and it's funny, you have like Voces Aid and Chanticleer, you have these groups, and when it seems simple, but I said, okay, well, I don't really want it to sound like a musical name. And I started to think, well, what's the essence if we distill the whole group into one little line or one? And that is, I want to challenge and create that space which separates the audience from the ensemble. That is the fourth wall. So that's the space that I want to challenge and to give and to communicate and develop a relationship that I think is very much needed in classical music.
Well, let's talk about some of the first couple albums that we've seen in this year. Maybe we start with Awake, with music by Samuel Siskind. And oh, if you want to tell us about your connection to the composer and some of the topics covered in the music.
Sure. So Samuel is an incredibly gifted young composer from Los Angeles. My executive director, Jonathan McCullough, worked for the National Children's Chorus and got to meet Samuel and was a mentor to Samuel. Samuel is getting ready for college, which is shocking. He's that young. And Jonathan McCullough and I said we really want to foster and build relationship with young composers. And Samuel completely fit the bill. So his music is both challenging, inventive. It lives in both worlds. It's serious. It's not serious in the best of ways. And so we put our group together to sort of say, hey, this is an incredibly gifted individual. Let's see what we can do with some of his work. And the result was Awake, which I'm very proud of.
As I lie on a warm summer's
Education is so important to me, and if we want an audience in the future, we need to start developing that audience at the core. But if you further go to the next stage, well, okay, so budding talented young people who either might have a career in this or might go to do something else, we need to start developing that talent as well and guiding that so we have things that an audience wants to listen to and participate in.
And for some variety, we also in Ad Manus, we have some composers that have a more established foundation in composition. And it's a really interesting mix of composers and music you have on there.
Yeah, we recorded this after our first week together as a group. We did a very rigorous round of auditions and we came to the group. And I said, what's a great project to kind of launch this whole thing? And I'm like, well, let's do a recording project. And a recording project sort of hones the skills very quickly. There's an impending date. We're talking about the most nuanced complexity of sound. And so I was like, okay, let's do a recording. So now it's like, what do you want on the recording? And I said, well, I want this group to be somebody that can go up to the Boston Symphony and do a St. Matthew Passion. And I want it to be something that they can sing Danny Boy, right? I wanted to do early, early music and Baroque, which is that's the Buxtehude, Ad Manus. And then we want collaboration is very important. So Time for Three is a Grammy winning, incredible string group that we commissioned Jeff Beal, this incredible composer, composer of House of Cards, to write something for Fourth Wall and for Time for Three. So that's a new commission. That's very much in line artistically with what we're trying to accomplish. We have Danny Boy, which I mentioned, right? And then we had Eric Whitaker, one of the great choral composers of our time. And he took a piece which sounds like Gregorian chant and recontextualized that. So I thought it fit perfectly with our vision that, okay, well, we're taking old stuff and trying to figure out how to recontextualize to make it feel very modern. And then to close out, and then Caroline Shaw, who was one of the most gifted young composers on the scene today. She won a Pulitzer in 2013. We did End the Swallow, which was in her response to the Syrian refugee crisis in 2017. And we just performed her Partita for Eight Voices for Death of Classical last month. And we ended with Rina Ismail. She wrote this piece to teach the houseless community in Los Angeles how to sing together. It's in the style of Indian music. And she wrote this specifically for non-Indians who want to sing in that style as a community. And so she wrote this piece to teach to some of the members and community of Skid Row. And I was like, well, you know, we're so about that too. And we want everybody to participate in the art that we're making. So we end the album with Tara Kita.
There's a little something for everybody there. Maybe I'll circle back though to that new commission, the Oh Painful Joy by Jeff Beal. And somewhere in the album description there, I read and it caught my eye. Text by infamous Italian composer, prince, and murderer, Carlo Gesualdo. So I thought, okay, who is this murderous composer?
Yeah, you know, I think he's one of the most fascinating people in history. He was born for an aristocratic family in the High Renaissance. He was a prodigious child, wanted to compose, went to Rome to become a priest and to compose for the church. And his brother died. Now he's the head of the family and has to go back to the castle and run the family business, so to speak. And so one of the most gifted people that has ever lived, really. He found his wife in a romantic tryst with a duke, and in a fit of rage, murdered the two of them. So that's where the murderer comes in. And his music, even though it is of Italian High Renaissance, you know, it's so dissonant and modern and weird and amazing. And, you know, people have theorized, well, it's because he was going insane and the pain and the grief of his murders. I don't know. It's amazing music. And he was also a poet. And we thought it'd be interesting to take his words and for Jeff Beal to set that in a new composition.
I guess on the tangent of the macabre, I saw that you did have a recent performance at a cemetery, and that kind of intrigued me. If you could tell us a little bit more about the Death of Classical series.
Yeah, you know, it has become this avant-garde series in New York City. You can't get your ticket fast enough. We had six performances, and about all were sold out. Andrew Owsley is an incredible visionary. Among many of the things he does, he runs the series Death of Classical. And it takes place in crypts. It takes place at Greenwood Cemetery, St. John the Divine. There's a few places in Queens. And so it's a hot ticket in New York City. It's beautifully lit, and you're literally in a crypt. We did the Monteverdi Madrigal Book 6, Sestina, which is about a lover is in the tomb of his beloved, and the tears fall on the tomb of his lover. So, I mean, it's an incredible, and to do that in a crypt was very special. We had, as I mentioned, we had six performances. We paired that with Caroline Shaw and The Swallow we did, which was on our On Manu's album, and as well as the Partita for Eight Voices, which won the Pulitzer. So it was a very exciting program. You know, I've never had a dressing room in a crypt. That was an interesting thing. When everybody left and you're packing your bags, you leave just a little bit quicker than if you're at a traditional performance hall.
Thank you.
there's so many things to be announced shortly. Go check out Fourth Wall Ensemble. You know, follow us on Instagram, and maybe there's a way that we can link. It's a group that I think in the next few years, everybody will hear about them. And I'm so proud of the work that has happened. And I love the people who, these artists who are giving so much of themselves to make this happen. And I do believe that this group is both an artistic and a social sort of beacon of what the industry could be when we put, you know, meaningful thoughts together and give things to an audience.
Christopher Allen is the artistic and creative director of the Fourth Wall Ensemble, and we've been speaking on the albums Awake and on Manus, both of which are available on all streaming platforms. And Christopher, I just wanted to say congratulations on an amazing first year, and we look forward to being in touch with the Fourth Ensemble in the future.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary.